This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Signs your emotional self-awareness breaks down under conversational pressure. What do your reactions reveal when a conversation gets hard? In short, emotional self-awareness does not fail loudly. It slips quietly the moment a conversation raises the stakes, and you often do not notice until after the damage is done. The signs appear as behavior interrupting, going silent, replaying exchanges obsessively. The cause is almost always a gap between what you feel and what you understand about that feeling. You can learn to catch the gap earlier, but only if you know what to look for first. Definition: emotional self-awareness breaks down when the gap between what you feel and what you understand about that feeling widens under pressure, leaving your reactions to drive the conversation instead of your intentions. It is a loss of real-time insight into your own emotional state during a difficult exchange. You thought the conversation was going fine, then something shifted. A word landed wrong, a pause lasted too long, and something inside you tightened. Later, sitting with it, you could not quite explain what happened or why you responded the way you did. That experience is emotional self-awareness breaking down in real time. And it happens to people who consider themselves self-aware. The gap between how well you know yourself in quiet moments and how clearly you see yourself under conversational pressure is often far wider than people expect. This article names 6 specific signs that your inner awareness is failing when it matters most. Not to shame you, to give you the clarity to see it coming next time. Why these signs are so easy to dismiss. Most people who struggle with self-awareness under pressure do not lack the desire to know themselves. They lack a clear picture of what breakdown actually looks like in a live conversation. The signs rarely feel like failure in the moment. They feel like clarity. When you go quiet, it feels like patience. When you redirect a topic, it feels like tact. When you replay a conversation for 2 hours afterward, it feels like conscientiousness. The behaviors that signal a loss of inner awareness are almost always disguised as virtues. This is why good people stay stuck. They are looking for obvious warning signs, and the real ones are subtle, contextual, and very easy to rationalize away. 6 signs your inner awareness is slipping in real time. 1. You can describe what you said, but not what you felt. What it looks like, you can give a precise account of the words exchanged, but when someone asks how you felt during the conversation, you reach for vague descriptions. Frustrated, uncomfortable, a bit off. The emotional layer is blurry where the verbal layer is sharp. Why it happens? Most people train themselves to track content, not internal state. Under pressure, cognitive resources go entirely to the words and none to the emotional experience underneath. Why it matters. If you cannot name what you felt, you cannot understand your reactions, and you cannot change them. You are essentially driving blind. What to do? After your next difficult conversation, sit for 5 minutes and write down 3 specific emotions, not just behaviors. Not I got defensive, but I felt dismissed, then frightened, then angry. The precision builds the capacity. Here is the truth of it: labeling an emotion with accuracy is not a soft skill. It is a precision instrument. The more exact your emotional vocabulary, the earlier you catch the signal. 2. Your body responds before you have a thought. What it looks like: your jaw tightens, your breathing shallows, you shift in your seat or cross your arms. You notice none of it until the conversation is over, or someone else points it out. Why it happens? Physiological stress responses move faster than conscious thought. The body receives emotional information before the thinking mind catches up. If you are not practiced at reading those signals, they run ahead of you. Why it matters? Your body is giving you a warning, and you are missing it. That warning, caught early enough, is exactly when you still have a choice about how to respond. Miss it, and the reaction is already happening. What to do? Pick one physical signal, just one, and decide to treat it as your personal alarm. Many people use the first sign of dual tension. When you feel it, pause, breathe, and name what is happening. The habit of checking in physically is trainable. I know this particular sign well. I spent years dismissing the tightness in my chest as just nerves. It was not nerves. It was information I had not yet learned to read. 3. You find yourself redirecting the topic without deciding to. What it looks like: the conversation approaches something uncomfortable, and somehow you've moved it onto safer ground without a conscious decision to do so. You do not remember steering. You just notice you are somewhere else. Why it happens: The mind protects you from emotional pain with remarkable efficiency. Unconscious topic avoidance is one of its most elegant tools. You do not plan it. It happens below the threshold of awareness. Why it matters? Every unconscious redirect signals territory you have not examined. The pattern, repeated over time, turns whole areas of your emotional life into off-limits zones you're not even aware you're avoiding. What to do? After a conversation, ask yourself, was there anything we were moving toward that we did not quite reach? If the answer is yes, and you cannot explain why the conversation went another direction, that is worth sitting with. You can explore this further by understanding how amygdala responses escalate tension in high-pressure moments and recognizing your own version of the pattern. This one took me the longest to see in myself. Avoidance can look so much like grace. 4. You react to the tone before you have heard the content. What it looks like. Someone speaks with an edge, and you are already formulating a response before they finish the sentence. You're responding to how it felt, not to what was actually said. This is the non-obvious one. Why it happens. Human threat detection prioritizes tone and facial expression over verbal content. When your nervous system reads danger in a voice, it triggers a response before the analytical mind has processed the words. This is useful in physical danger. In a meeting room, it is a liability. Why it matters. You end up having a different conversation than the one being offered. The other person says something challenging. You respond to something threatening. Nobody knows why the exchange went sideways because both people experienced it differently. What to do? Practice a simple rule before you respond. Repeat back what you heard. Not the feeling, the content. What I heard you say is this forces your thinking mind to engage before your reactive mind takes over. The core framework is built precisely for this kind of moment, giving you a structure to stay grounded when tone triggers a defensive response. Every time I thought someone was attacking me, and it turned out they were just direct, I had confused tone for intent. It is a costly mistake. 5. You spend more time after the conversation than during it. What it looks like. The meeting ends. You move on. But the conversation does not. You replay it at dinner, in the car, at 2 in the morning. You revise your responses, rehearse what you should have said, and cycle through the exchange repeatedly. Why it happens. Post-conversation rumination is a sign that your emotional processing did not happen in real time. The feelings that were not examined during the conversation have to go somewhere, and they surface as repetitive thought afterward. Why it matters. Rumination is exhausting and rarely productive. More importantly, it signals that your self-awareness is working on a delay. You are processing after the fact what you needed to be aware of in the moment. What to do? The next time you catch yourself replaying a conversation, pause the replay and ask a single question. What was I actually feeling in that moment? Not what should I have said, but what did I feel? That pivot, from editing to examining, is where the real work begins. I cover the gap between knowing and doing in difficult conversations in depth and say it right every time, particularly the way emotional processing in real time changes everything about how a conversation lands. 2 in the morning is not when you need better scripts. It is when you need better awareness of what happened 4 hours earlier. 6. You leave conversations certain you were objective. What it looks like. You describe the exchange to a trusted colleague and genuinely believe your account is neutral, balanced, fair. You present both sides, but somehow your version always has you making the reasonable points and the other person making the difficult ones. Why it happens. Emotional investment distorts recall without our knowledge. We remember our intentions and the other person's impact. They remember their intentions and our impact. Neither of us is lying. Both of us are missing half the picture. Why it matters. Certainty of objectivity is one of the most reliable signs of a self-awareness blind spot. The people who are most convinced they see clearly are often the ones with the most to examine. This dynamic directly affects how managers handle conversational pressure, and the confidence competence loop explains why some people navigate this better than others. What to do? After you've told your account of a conversation to someone you trust, ask them to play devil's advocate for the other person's perspective. Then listen without defending. What you feel when they do that is far more informative than the story you told. I have been utterly certain I was right in situations where I was, at best, half right. That certainty was not confidence. It was a closed door. The pattern beneath all 6 signs. These 6 signs look different on the surface, but they share a single root. All of them are products of the gap between the speed of your emotional response and the speed of your reflective awareness. In calm conditions, You close that gap naturally. Under conversational pressure, the gap widens, and your reactions take over before your awareness catches up. The root is not a lack of intelligence or a character flaw. It is the absence of trained, real-time self-monitoring. Most people develop emotional awareness in retrospect, meaning they understand how they felt after the fact. Conversational pressure demands something faster: the ability to notice what you're feeling while it is happening. That capacity is built through practice, not insight. The moment you build even a small window of awareness between stimulus and response, everything changes. Understanding how amygdala hijack destroys team synergy shows you what happens at scale when this gap stays closed across a whole group. How to know where you actually stand. Use this checklist honestly. Answer yes or no based on the last month of conversations. In the last month, did you leave a conversation unable to name what you were feeling during it? Notice physical tension only after an exchange ended, not during it. Steer a conversation away from a subject without consciously deciding to respond to someone's tone before hearing their full point. Replay a conversation repeatedly in the hours or days that followed. Describe a difficult exchange to someone and feel certain your account was fully objective. Feel surprised by feedback about how you came across in a conversation, scoring 0 to 2 yes answers. Your real-time self-awareness is reasonably solid. Look at the specific items you flagged and treat them as individual practice points, 3 to 4 yes answers. Your awareness is working on a delay. You are processing after the fact what you need to catch in the moment. The body signal practice from sign 2 is your best starting point, 5 to 7 yes answers. The gap between your emotional response and your awareness is wide. Start with one conversation per day, where your only goal is to notice one physical signal in real time. Build the habit before you try to change the reaction. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to go from here? The first move is not to fix your reactions. That comes second. The first move is to close the time gap between what you feel and when you recognize it. Choose one conversation in the next 48 hours, a real one, not a low-stakes chat, and commit to one question during it: what am I feeling right now? You do not have to act on the answer. You just have to ask it. That single act of in-the-moment self-questioning is the foundation of everything else, including the kind of clear, rounded feedback conversations explored in using the core framework when feedback triggers defensiveness, and the preparation work described in running a conversation pre-mortem before a high-stakes discussion. For the link between real-time awareness and giving better feedback, what the confidence competence loop reveals about feedback quality shows how the same foundation shapes your ability to deliver hard messages without losing the other person. Emotional self-awareness breaks down under pressure for nearly everyone. The question is never whether it will happen. The question is whether you can see it happening soon enough to do something about it. Frequently asked questions. What does emotional self-awareness breaking down look like? It looks like reacting faster than you think, going quiet when you should speak, or replaying a conversation for hours afterward. The common thread is a gap between what you feel and what you understand about why you feel it. Recognition is always the first step. Why does emotional self-awareness break down under pressure? Conversational pressure triggers a physiological stress response that narrows your thinking and speeds up your reactions. When that happens, the reflective capacity you rely on for self-awareness gets temporarily overridden. You are not failing as a person. You are running an older, faster system. How do you rebuild emotional self-awareness after a difficult conversation? Start by reviewing the moment your awareness slipped, not to judge yourself, but to understand the trigger. Name the emotion you were actually feeling, not just the behavior it produced. Then identify one specific thing you will do differently next time that situation arises. Can emotional self-awareness improve with practice? Yes, consistently. The gap between what you feel and what you understand about the feeling closes through deliberate reflection after conversations, not just during them. Each of you builds pattern recognition, and pattern recognition is what gives you choice in the moment. What is the difference between emotional self-awareness and emotional control? Self-awareness is recognizing what you feel and why. Emotional control is deciding what to do with that feeling. You cannot reliably control something you have not first recognized. Self-awareness always comes first. Control follows from it, not the other way around. Is avoiding a topic during a conversation a sign of low self-awareness? Often yes. When you steer away from a subject without consciously choosing to, it usually means something in that territory is triggering discomfort you have not examined. True self-awareness lets you choose to avoid something. Unconscious avoidance means the topic is choosing for you. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.